Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Some people say T has a way with words. Some call him the Tom Brady of blogging, the Jay-Z of screenwriting, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. He is the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now here is your host, T. Welcome everyone to the Tea Podcast for today, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 146. How you all doing out there? It's debating whether or not what I should do here on the podcast tonight. I know last week I had a podcast with Melty, then I did another one with Bilo. I tend to do, you know, topical ones on my own. I tend to go back to the Tea Podcast archive and making sure I don't do anything repetitive that I brought over from T-Blog. T-Blog, as some of you may know, some new listeners, it's my website, was my website, my entertainment blueprint that I wrote every Monday for 9 years. Then I came over and started doing the podcast. I've been here now almost a year and a half doing the Tea Podcast. And one of the things that I've been meaning to do is I wrote a T-episode. If you follow T-Blog or, go back and check T-Blog.com, T-B-L-A-W-G. It was, a T-episode. That's what I used to call them every Monday. Not a blog post, not a regular post, but they were a T-episode, a play on episode. I wrote in 2013, T's Pursuit of Happiness. My Pursuit of Happiness, getting from, you know, point A to point B, you know, all the stops in between and what true happiness meant to me. And I thought about coming here and reading off on some of that and trying to maybe redefine or share what I think happiness means to me today, 7 years later and where I'm at in my life. But, you know, obviously there's all the topical stuff going on, right? There's the coronavirus spreading rampantly throughout the world, hitting the states now, people being told to work from home. The best way to work virtually. My company's doing that same thing too. How it's impacting just everyday life and what it's going to be doing here in the United States. The market was tanking last week. It's coming back and doing a pretty good recovery, which is ironic because if anything, the coronavirus fears and has been spreading more. But Apple does well, the market does well, it's a good indicator of where things are going to go. There's obviously the politics I could get into with Buttigieg dropping out of the race and Biden still not getting endorsed by Obama, Trump running his mouth. You know, there's all topical stuff going on in sports. Tom Brady update. What's going to happen? Is he going to sign a deal before the CBA? I had all this. I had us in mind. I was even talking to Melty what I should do, whether I was going to come here for the new updated T's Pursuit of Happiness or give something topical. And then I had a pause because it was like so many signs, and I'll give you an indication of what that was. I mean, if you read or saw the title of the Tea Podcast for today, you would see that it said, Missing You. And the signs that I had this weekend, and Melty and I, we went out on Friday to look at another wedding venue. And we saw the venue, and then obviously I spent the weekend doing things with Melty, hanging out with her. And one of the things we also did, too, is watch the finale of Love is Blind. I don't know if I have Melty back in time to do a wrap-up of that show. And, you know, from looking at the wedding venue and watching the finale of Love is Blind, there were the couples getting married. The final episode was almost 2 hours, an hour and a half, where they're walking down the aisle. Before that, it was like any typical wedding where the bride and groom are in the back with their closest friends and family, but more specifically their parents. You know, the bride would have conversations with her parents, her mom and dad. And then some of the groomsmen, wasn't really their dads being in the back. Some of the grooms, they really didn't have their dads in the back. They had their moms. And, you know, that hit me on a different level, too. And, you know, I was thinking that besides looking at the wedding venue and Melty and I planning for our engagement party that we're having, the dinner in a couple of weeks, and watching these people getting married, and obviously thinking about my upcoming nuptials to Melty that we're looking to do, hopefully, you know, before the year ends, maybe this fall. But either way, I have a wedding coming up to Melty, and I'm over here seeing these guys talking, you know, to their mom. Their moms, and, you know, all in the back, and their mothers, and giving them advice, and talking about what it's like, you know, how proud they are and how they're seeing their sons about to get married. And, you know, that and the wedding venue and his cape couldn't help but make me think about how much I was missing my mother. I was missing Paula, who I've talked about on the podcast here before. And a couple weeks ago, I've talked about on the podcast that since my mother passed away, since Paula passed away, I have gone every Sunday to her grave, to the cemetery, because I used to go to her house every Sunday. I used to go by for Sunday dinner. And when I go to the cemetery, whether I go, sometimes I bring flowers if the flower store is open, but sometimes I'm coming back from a trip and I always bring magnets because I like going by her house every Sunday to see her every Sunday dinner. I would bring a magnet from one of my latest vacations. So I bring magnets and I leave it on her plaque on her tombstone. And a couple weeks ago, for the first time since I've been with Melty, since we've been together, she came to my mother's grave with me. It was something it meant a lot. It was very important. I've never brought anyone to my mother's gravesite. I think I brought my father there once. Otherwise, I ran to my father there a couple of times, or my sister a couple of times. But usually Sunday mornings is my time. And it was important, you know, to bring Melty there because it was, you know, I talk to Paula every Sunday about everything that's going on in my life. Obviously, for the last 10 months since I met Melty, since I've gotten engaged, planned our wedding, I tell her. I sit there and I talk to my mother and I give her an update of what's going on in my life. And for, you know, Melty to be a part of that, to you know, stand there, sit there with me, it meant a lot. But this past weekend, thinking about everything that we were planning for the wedding, and I just can't help it. And as I went there Sunday to tell her, you know, you're supposed to be here for this. You know, you're supposed to see me get engaged. You're supposed to be part of all this planning stuff. You're supposed to give me a hard time of all the things that I'm doing or saying. You're supposed to warn me and tell me not to be a pain in Melty's ass with all the planning and don't give her a hard time. Don't bust her balls like the things I would do to you. You're supposed to be here and asking me all these questions and giving me a hard time of who I may or may not be inviting to my wedding and hearing all about the venues, but you're not here for this. And I have to, you know, talk to you as I stand in the grave. And I don't know what, you know, people could get out of this podcast tonight, but anyone planning a wedding or anyone that's had, again, like I said before, loss of a parent, what it's like to, one, for me, you know, there's two important things here that I want to get across this podcast that, you know, your parent, even though I'm getting married later on in life, your parent is supposed to be at your wedding. Your parent is supposed to be there during this. And it's something that I never thought, one, I would be getting married because the way I was going in life, I was content at some point just being a single guy, living life my way. And I never thought I'd meet Melty. And I did. And the other part was when I got there, I never thought Paula would not be there. As much as I said before that she had health issues, she always beat cancer. She always beat every single health issue. She fought cancer four times. Like, I thought I would never find Melty, and I thought my mother, Paula, would never not be here for my wedding. So these are two things that I process daily, sometimes by the minute. It's a lot for me to take in sometimes, and I think maybe some form of therapy would be coming here to share with the podcast where, you know, people that are married, if you're planning a wedding or if you're doing this without a parent, whether it's earlier in your life or later in life too, it's something life doesn't prepare you for. There is no manual that you could pull out of your desk and plan for a wedding. There is no manual that you could pull out of your desk and tells you how to deal with the loss of a parent. Nor is there a manual that guides you as a man or even a woman, but in my case, a man, to plan for your wedding without your parent, without one of your parents, without your mother. So I'm just processing all that. And another reason why I came back here tonight to talk about, you know, missing Paula is because when I was over Melty's house on Saturday night, we were looking at my phone, and I said it before on the podcast, I kind of avoided going back on my phone for a number of reasons, mainly because it was going to be tough to go back and look at pictures of my mom. But I've recently gone back and I've done that. But Saturday night, we were looking for a picture of somebody in my phone, and I had to go back, and I was scrolling up and down, and some moments there, memories that obviously I started talking to Melty about. But it was also, I came across, as an ambulance comes by, again, live at the Tea Palace, as I came across the very last picture that I have with Paula. It's the screensaver on my new Mac that I have at home. I came across that picture, and that made me think of it too, and that was like another sign. And earlier last week, and I didn't even think about it at the time, Melty was at my place at the Tea Palace, and we were going through, we were just watching early episodes of Love is Blind, and for some reason, I was like, do you want to see, because she showed me a couple of weeks ago her baby photo album, and I showed her my baby book, the one I put together myself, and she was laughing at some of the things in there. I'm like, I was so proud that I put my own things in there. It's pictures of me as a baby with Paula, obviously my family, my sister, friends, and all of a sudden it goes to like the third grade, and I have pictures from the old Boston Garden and a WWF event, pictures that I took. They were all black. You could barely even see anything. And then I cut out some things in there of somebody getting stabbed in East Boston and an old art teacher that used to be very verbally abusive to kids, and he put one of my friends into a bird cage. And she's like, why do you have this in your baby book? I'm like, I put this together. I'm very proud of this baby book. And it's all falling apart. It's something from like the early 80s. But there were pictures in there of Paula. And then obviously we're driving around this weekend, and we're talking about the wedding, and we're looking at sites. We're going to places for the registry. Then we came back, and like I said, I was looking through my phone, and I found my very last picture that I'll ever have with my mother. And it's the wedding stuff. You're thinking that, and you put it all together, and you know we're talking, and all the stuff I leave inside too. It's like, I'm not going to have that talk in the back, getting ready for the ceremony in my suit. My tux is going to be a suit. I don't want to do a tux for my wedding. I'm not going to have that conversation with her. I'm not going to have those tears, those stories, that and the hugs with her. I'm not going to be able to walk Paula down to her seat to watch me get married. I'm not going to be able to have that dance that every son is supposed to have with their mom at his wedding. And as all that was bubbling up, and again, I debated whether or not I should come here and share that. You know, maybe people could feel something here. I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm not looking for anybody to feel bad for me. I'm just like saying there's got to be people out there that, you know, you have to plan for a wedding and you have to plan for life without a parent. And, you know, I'm bringing the two together right now. And it's a little bit overwhelming at times. But I go to the dentist today, as you know, as I'm recording this. And I get a cleaning every 3 to 4 months. I have no cavities, knock on wood, still have any cavities, almost 43 years old. I love that record. But my family has a history of bad gums. I've always had gum issues. Not now, not in the last 10 years, because I have to go. That's why I go every 3-4 months. And I'm sitting there, and as we're done wrapping up, did my x-rays, did the cleaning and whatnot, everything's perfect, everything's great, which is good. They have to set up my next appointment, and the next appointment that this person says when I have to go back is July 16th. That's Paula's birthday. Like, out of nowhere, she's just like, I have availability on July 16th. And I'm like, all right, here's another sign. You know, Paula's talking to me. You know, she's throwing stuff out there of where it's, you know, like the Tom Brady thing. I was saying it earlier, could have came in and talked about Tom Brady. She knew how much I love the Patriots, how much I love Tom Brady. She would be asking me, what do you think? You think he's going to go? You think he's going to stay? If he did leave, or if she thought he was going to leave, I know she would say something like, everything's going to be all right. Like, it would be the end of the world for me if Tom Brady left the Patriots. And she got that. But yeah, this there's a lot of signs, a lot of thinking of where, as a man right now, you know, who's been without his mother for a little bit, you know, October, November, December, January, February, March, 17 months. I also wanted to come here too, and I went from the saddest, toughest time of my life to the happiest time of my life. It was a complete 180 where sometimes I feel guilty. Like, I'm not supposed to feel this way because I'm so happy being with Melty and being the relationship that we were in, and now it's heading towards a marriage. Like, I'm not supposed to feel so happy at times. And it's the weirdest thing. And I don't know if anyone out there in the Teep podcast listening land has ever had to go from one extreme feeling to another. And I literally have gone from the saddest, darkest, most painful time of my life to the happiest, feel good, brightest moment of my life. And it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And I promised myself that I would come here and share at the Tea Podcast if I wanted to talk my way through. So as I thought about, should I go down a topical, sports-related, politics? Should I go back into the T-Blog archives, 400 T-episodes, have you all heard me say? I thought about what to talk about. And then all these signs and all these failings were happening this weekend. And I just decided to come here and share how I was feeling and what I was going through as, you know, we continue to plan for the wedding. But, and I'm sure there's going to be moments that I'm going to catch myself thinking about Paula, but she was throwing signs left and right at me. And again, I've never been a religious person or a spiritual person. Now, after my mother passed away, I believe there's something out there, afterlife. I don't know what. I'm not trying to say who's right, who's wrong, what religion they're out there. It's something I never really been into, but Paula was. And there were signs here that I'm not going to share on the podcast that after she passed away that made me think, like, fuck, she's around. She's letting me know. This weekend, it was a little bit of that. But I had to come to the T podcast and talk my way through of where planning for a wedding as a grown man at the happiest time of his life, thinking about, you know, how your mother's supposed to be there with you. And there's no right or wrong. There's no way to feel. Like I said, I'll go back to the manual analogy where there isn't anything in life that tells you how to do anything. How to be a man. How to drive a car. There's no manual to drive a car. There's car manuals. It tells you how the car works, how to turn it on and shit. But there isn't anything in life that you just have to live through it. You have to learn and figure it out on your own, and you just go. And that's something where if I somehow tie it back to T's pursuit of happiness, I've always been someone who said it before and I'll say it again. I didn't like anyone else's rules or principles. I've always was my own. I don't like being told what to do. I always think I know what to do. I always don't like other people's self-governing rules, but I have a shit ton of my own self-governing rules and principles. And one of my, you know, main principles was always doing things my way. And living and dying, you know, by that sword, hence the pen and the sword tatted on my arm, is that I always try to do things my way. And if it was right, good for me and good for the people that got something out of it because I did something smart and something intelligent, something we could all benefit from. And yeah, if it was a mistake, I learned from it, but it was my mistake and I got to do that. I never had anybody ever answer a mistake for me. Take the fall for something I did, and I've done some fucked up things in my life. Some of the things I was telling Melty that I never even told Paula about. She always knew that I went to school every day, and we were talking about how she was just in awe that I could get 150s and 175s on tests because I did extra credit, never turned the scrap paper, or I just, you know, made up book reports because I was always a writer. I would do the regular report and turn that in of how I had that. You know, I got into all my colleges and she would just say, how fucking smart are you? And I'm just like, you know, I got it. I always got school. I didn't love school. I went to school because I promised Paula I would always go. I didn't like being in the honors program. I didn't like being AP classes. I didn't like being in National Honor Society. I didn't like being away from my friends. But you know what? It kept me away from the punks and the thugs and the criminals and all the kids that are dead or locked up or died from drugs or crime because I did that. You know, that all ties back. That decision to sit there when Paula took me in the second grade, when my father was in prison saying, you know, promise me that you won't make me worry about you. And I said, I'll be good and I'll go to school every day. And I did. And the most part I was good and that she knew about. But when I was around my cousin and my crew and those kids, we did some shit. I did some shit on my own. I used to get into situations. I still get into situations. But at least it was mine to own. And that's something that I think as I look back and tie this back into Paula, you know, if she was around to see that man soon enough standing at the altar, you know, she proud of the man that I've become, she would be the first to tell people that, you know, my son did everything on his own, but now as a grown man, I would tell everyone, no, I didn't do it on my own. I had you, I had Paula, and she shaped me into the man I am today, you know, by hook or by crook. And that's something that it took me a little while after she died to come to realize, because I don't think I ever said that enough, but there are people now that come up to me that I just recently met, you know, that say to me, like, they would love to have met Paula because they see me and they say how great I am or how good I am and stuff that, you know, that I sometimes didn't feel. But they see that and they say that she must have been a great woman to raise you into the man you are today. So it's different. I don't know if, you know, there are other guys out there or even women listening to the podcast. Like, your parents shape you, whether your parents have been around for a long time or maybe you lost a parent, both your parents or at least a parent earlier in life, and you had to rely more on one parent, or maybe a parent went away, left, moved away, went to prison, and one parent really shaped your life, and then you lost them, and you're coming to different milestones and points in life that they won't be a part of. And you know, people could always say that they're there, that they can see you, that they're with you, that they're in your heart. Yes and no. People could say that that never really lost anyone. They didn't lose the person that they did. Like, I'm not knocking anyone, and I get everybody trying to say these kind words and trying to give, you know, encouragement. But someone that hasn't lost their mother, telling someone that lost their mother that they're there, that they can hear you, they can see you, that they're in your heart, they'll always be with you. It's kind words, yes, and the intent is appreciated, but you don't get it. You don't get what it's like to be someone that, you know, your mom pretty much raised you by herself and worked three jobs when your dad was in prison, that did everything she could, busting her ass, breaking her back to make sure there was food on the table, that you didn't have to want for toys or clothes, even though they were on layaway. Or maybe the toys that were brand new for some friends, you didn't get them to 6, 8 months or a year later. She did that. She did it all on her own. And to not have that person, not just any type of mom, not having that special mom, not having Paula, see me at this point in my life, it's tough. So, you know, again, I come with the Tea Podcast and I talk about my crazy stories and I'm a wise ass. Sometimes I come in hot. And sometimes I'm here and I'm having fun with Melty, or sometimes you just hear me busting Bilo's balls and shooting the shit, or I just come here and do something topical. There's going to be times when I come here and I get very personal, and this is something I just been feeling this weekend. There's so many signs there, and I was really missing Paula. I was really missing my mother, and I wanted to come here and share with you guys, give you a story, and maybe it's something you take away, and just another side of me, you know, good or bad. I wanted to bring every side here and entertain you all. So short podcast, short Tea Podcast tonight. Just wanted to get that all out there. And, you know, that was your Tea Podcast for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. That was the Tea Podcast number 146. So that's the show, everyone. I'll be back Thursday with Bilo. He's on location. I'm hoping he could pull off a recording. If the coronavirus doesn't do him in, update with Bilo and the coronavirus. Hoping we can record. But that's it, everyone. Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to Tea in the Tea Podcast on iTunes and TeaBlog.com. Also follow Tea along on Twitter and Instagram on the Tea Blog account. All one word, TBLAWG, on the Tea Blog Facebook page. And again, on Instagram, this time on the Tea Podcast account, the_T_podcast. You can send comments and questions along to Tea at tea@t-blog.com. That's tea@t-blawg.com. The show has now ended. Tea has taken it there.